Everyone, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It is 4:29 p.m. Eastern, the 23rd of July, and we've got a very interesting show for you today, and I'm going to start out with some clips. This first clip is about Joe Biden and his dealings with the Ukraine. It'll be interesting to see what happens ultimately with all of this.
Democrat presidential candidate and former Vice President Joe Biden finds himself in more hot water this week. Just confirmed, a Ukrainian court ordered Joe Biden to be formally listed in a criminal case. The crime? The alleged firing of Ukraine's former prosecutor general, Viktor Shokin, in exchange for dropping an investigation into Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, and the company for which he was a board member, Burisma Oil. Shokin formally called for an investigation into his firing back in February of 2020, claiming the Ukrainian government at the time relieved Shokin of his post in exchange for $1 billion in loan guarantees promised by Biden, a bribe Biden himself admitted to doing.
Prosecutor's not fired. You're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired.
But at the time Shokin called for this case back in February, the courts listed one of the defendants as an unnamed American, an individual widely understood to be Joe Biden, Obama's Ukraine point man. But Biden was never formally named. Now, the courts have ruled it is improper to conceal Biden's name and that there is sufficient evidence to proceed with an investigation. The ruling cannot be appealed. Another key development in this story is the release of a series of telephone conversations that has garnered major questions. Andrei Derkach, a member of parliament in Ukraine, in a press conference Tuesday, released what he says appear to be voice recordings of then-Secretary of State John Kerry, Vice President Joe Biden, and then President of Ukraine, Poroshenko, discussing the Burisma case and discussing the removal of Viktor Shokin. Neither Kerry, Biden, nor Poroshenko have affirmed the verity of these recordings. The recordings appear to have been leaked from government officials and whistleblowers, but are currently being verified. Ukrainian President Zelensky stated he anticipates more developments over the course of the summer and says the case could qualify.
This next clip is a doctor explaining how the new vaccine for the COVID-19 will reprogram our DNA / RNA.
Documented. Here's the first 7 minutes or so. Get this out if you want to live.
This is not a new topic for me. I've studied these things for 20 years at least about vaccines, so I'm very familiar with it. I'm very passionate about the information. This one will focus on the COVID-19, though. Before I begin, I must say that I do not represent any company or group. I am not getting paid or reimbursed, and the opinions stated are solely mine alone. This information is not intended to diagnose or treat any individual. If you have symptoms, please see your individual healthcare practitioner. Again, my name is Dr. Kerry Mahdi, or Kerry, and I'm an internal medicine physician, osteopathic trained. So I want to start this talk by saying the most important question, choice, of your life is, what does it mean to be human? This is a very important question. It's going to be very important for this vaccine that's coming up. And so let me introduce some basic facts first, and then I will give you some information about what has been going on since we've been distracted on the media, and I'll give you some of the conclusions in the end. And then as far as some of the data that I'm going to present, I will give you some references that you could look up on your own. Give me a day or two to put those on the group's album page, okay? So first of all, some information to digest. Each of us has enough DNA in our bodies that could stretch up to 10 billion miles when uncoiled. That's about 35,000 terabytes of data, which is about 35 million hours of high-definition video. So what information would this hold? The blueprint for life, how to create it, how your body functions, how it grows, how it reproduces, our thoughts and memories, just to begin with some of those. Also important to know that DNA is similar to a computer code or a binary code. So if you're familiar with those, where it takes a small change in the pattern or code and will have a very grand effect. So you can insert a genome or gene, sorry, into the genome. So you can put something extra in there. You can take something out so that it's missing one. You can translocate, meaning you take one part of the genome and put it into another area and, you know, flip-flop them. Or you can take another synthetic or from another organism, a genome, in and cut out part of the genome of the human and insert that other genome in there. When you're doing this, you are rewriting your genetic code. You are writing your software program. And how much change of that code would it take to then be considered not human? And is that ethical and legal, whether or not we know what's going on, okay? These are very important things to discuss because they're trying to roll out this technology within this year. This is also considered to be an engineered cell line or synthetic cell line or genetically modified cell line. Those are all different words that might be used. You have to understand the lingo because it can be confusing what someone's trying to talk about. An interesting point is that we cannot patent anything natural or from nature, but we can patent something that's been created, modified, or engineered. A good example is Monsanto. It can genetically modify the seeds, therefore it's created something a little different. You may see the corn or the tomato or whatever in the grocery store, and it looks the same as a wild type, but it's not. They change something. So on the outside, it looks the same, but on the inside, it's not. So that, therefore, they control, they own those seeds. Now, if it's a wild type, one that just grows from nature, they cannot patent that. They can't own that, okay? So, you know, translate that or transpose that onto a human cell line or a human. That could potentially mean that we could be patented or human cell lines could be patented. And if it's patented, it has to have owners. So I think you might see where I'm going with this. And then what if our DNA is modified with genes from another species? Are we still human? Is this transhumanism? And then what if our DNA, our genome, is modified and thus can be patented and owned? This is not a sci-fi movie or a future event. This is right now, today. This is called recombinant DNA and recombinant RNA technology. And this is what is proposed for COVID-19 vaccine.
So the COVID-19 vaccine, which is the recombinant DNA and RNA, can literally reprogram your genetics, which is really unbelievable. I think I'll dive into an interesting contact report 240, which talks about a planet which is not visible from Earth. It's currently traveling around the sun, and I don't even think our astronomers know about this planet. So let's learn a little bit from the Meyer material. This is contact report 241, line 21, with Patel. Your question refers to the planet that is not visible from Earth because it travels around the sun at such a high speed that it always remains hidden behind the sun. What do you want to know about it? Billy says, this is a lack of clarity about the enormous speed. It's usually the case that the farther a planet is from the sun, the slower it orbits around the sun. Why isn't that the case with this planet? Why is it as much faster than usual? And what is its name? The planet, in terms of its enormous speed, is indeed a phenomena whose secret we were able to fathom only a little over 76 years ago. Once again, we had to realize that the wandering planet destroyer had also brought its dangerous forces into play on this planet. The planet Cathene, as it is called in our records, hidden behind the sun, has touched the solar system. at the 10th last passage of the destroyer through the solar system and torn into its gravitational force field, but then broke out of the force field again and maintains its almost normal orbit around the sun, but at an enormously increased speed, while the destroyer continued his pre-dawn orbit and broke into the solar system, causing destruction or changes in many places. The destroyer is a large comet that used to come into the system with some regularity. I don't know exactly where this planet is. In my mind, for one reason or another, and maybe I might have read this before at some point, this planet is small, but I'm not sure. So let's continue here, and maybe we can get some of our questions answered. Since then, the planet Caithene itself has been orbiting the sun in the form and at an abnormally high speed mentioned above, but slowly moving away from the solar system. So it must be farther away than I thought, and entering the attraction area of a wandering spiral arm of a black hole that will sweep the planet with it later this year. Oh, so the planet's maybe gone then, because I think this contact report was probably from the 80s. Let me take a look real quick. Maybe it says here, how about 1992? So I don't think I lost my spot. Since then, the planet Caithene itself has been orbiting the sun in the form and at abnormally high speed mentioned above, but slowly moving away from the solar system and entering the attraction area of a wandering spiral arm of a black hole that will sweep the planet with it later this year. It is the same spiral arm that also took the sand and dust accumulations of the planet Venus. So I never heard about this spiral arm of a black hole before, and I didn't know it affected Venus. This is totally new for me. When will the ripoff happen? According to our calculations, the event will take place on June 16th. Our astronomers never talked about this. Caithene, there's two planets that we haven't discovered yet. Oh, there's two of them. And yet that we call Uni and Trans-Pluto. No, the planet Caithene has nothing to do with it. It is also without any life of any form. And the spiral arm of the black hole, will it be even more effective in our solar system? No, because if there are not unpredictable changes, then the spiral arm collapses with the torn path of the planet Caithene and again becomes one with the hollow funnel of the black hole, or even the black hole, as the Earth humans call these structures. That's very interesting. Made me think of a tornado just then, as he said funnel. Each black hole is usually a funnel-shaped structure of a rotating form, which has wandering spiral arms, which often extend very far into free space and even have distances and light years calculated. In rare cases, we ourselves have measured such matter crackers, as we call the spiral arms of the black holes, in lengths of up to 8.7 light years. Wow, what a phenomenally massive thing that is. That is so incredible. And the black hole to which the spiral arm belongs cannot be dangerous to Earth or even to the solar system. Not the black hole itself, no, because it is too far away from the system. The spiral arms could be dangerous, however, if they spread again and approach the solar system, which is not very likely. Very reassuring to know. It couldn't be fun for me to find myself part of a black hole. But now, a further question, this time it refers again to Boris Yeltsin. And this is obviously another subject, so maybe we'll stop here. Wow. That black hole stuff was very, very interesting. I had another clip too. I'm confused as to what I did there. I screwed up somehow. And I thought it was actually pretty interesting. Maybe for the next time. I wanted to read something from the Might of Thoughts book, Mach der Gedanken. It talks about feelings. It says, feelings are very important and are therefore also extremely useful. Consequently, they must not simply be fought and eliminated. Remember, the feelings grow out of the thoughts. The feelings are different than emotions. Emotions are reactive. They cannot be steered. The feelings have a life-sustaining property. They also allow the thoughts to discharge so they don't run so hot. So let me continue here. That also must not happen by means of a positive or neutral positive equalized thinking, and indeed, neither with conscious nor unconscious thoughts, which in the latter case are practically uncontrollable. Again, we have unconscious feelings and unconscious thoughts, which are very practically uncontrollable, is probably the best way to say it. It must never be forgotten nor disregarded that feelings have an existential and thereby life-sustaining significance and function. So the feelings are life-sustaining, very important. For which reason, they are useful and must not be simply stifled and abolished, nor manipulated in a one-sided form. In certain situations, the living environment is partially threatening for the human being. And precisely in those situations, the feelings enable a quick and automatic procedure for processing of the relevant indigenous and environmental stimuli, proving according to a proven natural old system evaluation. So the other thing that the feelings do is that they simplify things. And I think that's what he's getting ready to say here. So the feelings are life-sustaining. They stop the thoughts from running too hot, allow the thoughts to discharge. They also simplify things. So let's continue. With that, an immediate life-conserving reaction is possible. Yeah, the thoughts are life-sustaining. Or the feelings are, excuse me. As a result, that life is also easier for the human being and is also thereby bearable at all. So the feelings help us cope. When one thinks of the imperfect world, which is uncontrollable in its diversity, for a large number of human beings to behave appropriately in their environment would often be difficult or even impossible if there were no reactive feelings which simplify the matter. See, it's simplifying things for us. Somehow then we got this big complicated thing with all these different facets, and to us it becomes simplified to just a certain feeling, and that's what we think of under that circumstance, is the feeling. It's very often interesting. If there were no reactive feelings which simplify the matters and which have developed in the human being for millennia and which are passed on to the individual as a lasting inheritance and are continually passed on, and these reactive feelings which simplify the matters are individually oriented towards the basic problem. Consequently, in this form, they are of immense importance. Remember, they simplify things. The feelings grow out of the thoughts. The feelings are life-sustaining. They simplify things, and they keep the thoughts from running too hot. If there were no feelings, which are created by the thoughts, then the thoughts would run hot because they would have no opportunity to discharge. So the feelings help the thoughts discharge their energy. Thus, the thoughts need an opportunity to discharge their powers so that they do not become excessive and do not become confusing. However, this discharging opportunity is the feelings, which are formed by the might of the thoughts, which in turn also discharge themselves. And for that reason, they deliver their foreign power to the psyche, which in turn is formed accordingly, negatively or positively, depending on just how the thoughts and the feelings are formed. Also, the psyche is not able to keep its powers obtained in this manner for itself, because in turn, also needs a discharging opportunity. Consequently, a feedback loop to the body and the consciousness is created, through which the psychical power is then expressed outwardly in accord with its negative or positive formation. So there's some kind of feedback loop here between the body and the consciousness that these feelings help. I need to take some notes on this and really get into this on a deep level. With its negative or positive formation, with that not the case, the brain and the consciousness, and with it, the human being's world of thoughts would become excessive and would become confused and irrational with all the manifold flood of impressions. So again, it's helping us simplify things. It's helping the thoughts discharge their energy. The feelings are also life-sustaining. So it has a very important role here. So we can think of our feelings about something rather than 100 different details. And that way it simplifies things. Okay, let me continue here. Okay, the manifold flood of impressions, informations, perceptions, demands for decisions and the practical experiences and living experiences and so forth. Feelings are an automatic help in life, for which reason the thoughts which precede them must be amply, correctly nurtured and tended, because through their might they form the feelings, and as a further consequence also the psyche. Feelings represent primary processes in the carrying out of life, which is why they must not be stifled or eliminated in any form. I'm glad I really hit this, because I can remember, for whatever reason, years or months ago, that I was thinking that I should be stifling my feelings sometimes in order to be more neutral. I don't know exactly why I thought I had to do that, but this kind of cleared that up. Feelings represent primary processes in the carrying out of life, which is why they must not be stifled or eliminated in any form. They therefore must only be positively influenced and changed with a neutral, positive, equalized thinking. However, they must never be forced with Gewalt or be fought and eliminated. The human being's feelings are appropriate to his/her kind and to his/her life and are a valuable store of practical experience, which must never be underestimated in its significance. Well, human feelings then are somehow storing our practical experience. Wow, I'm going to think about that. They are also characterized not least by human-specific reactions, such as love and affection, anxiety and fear, inhibitions, hate and repugnance, elements of impulse and threat, and many other factors. But it is not always simplify the feelings which display such factors, because emotions can also have the same form. But the difference between feelings and emotions is easy to recognize for every human being if he or she directs his attention to them. Emotions, namely, come suddenly like lightning, surging, exciting, uncontrollable. They are often of a short duration, hopefully. However, feelings manifest slowly and are associated with a preceding thought process, quite in contrast to emotions, which are not preceded by any thoughts. To bear in mind, boy, that's really interesting. Emotions are not preceded by any thoughts. Wow, they just appear. Quite in contrast to emotions, which are not preceded by any thoughts, To bear in mind with emotions, however, is that they lead to thought processes from which feelings then develop in accord with the emotions, and indeed with long-lasting duration. So emotions lead to thought processes. Hopefully, rational thought processes. And then feelings come from those thought processes. An interplay comes about among the emotions, thoughts, and feelings, which often leads to actions which are connected to emotions. For example, grave acts of jealousy, hate-motivated violence, and acts of revenge, and so forth. Remember the one passage, when tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and cause them to go from one extreme to another, which creates a misdirection of the thoughts and triggers emotions that can lead to murder and manslaughter. Eek. So the emotions can lead to thoughts, and then the thoughts can then lead to long-lasting feelings. With all of it, the human being must be conscious that not only positive thoughts and feelings are productive, rather also negative ones are, which is why the erroneous opinion of positive thinkers and positive writers must therefore never be held and accepted, that solely positive thoughts and feelings are life-affirming and evolutive. Now, I think some negative thoughts help balance you out, as long as they don't just start dominating the psyche, which it's real easy. Also, negative thoughts probably can save your butt if they're appearing, you know, you feeling that you're in danger. You might want to listen to those negative thoughts. Truly, negative thoughts and feelings, which emerge in conscious and controllable form, as well as unconscious and uncontrollable form, are just as necessary to life as are the positive. And that might be a good place to end. But just be aware that a lot of times our negative thoughts run wild and can do a lot of damage. Well, that was an interesting little short show. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great evening.